has joined. Has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Good afternoon.
Well, we have multiple people, so we will begin. Please join me in saying the Anabakoa. Anabakoa, Gedula Chimincha, Katir, Serra. Alephet Gimel Yutat Sadi. Kabil Rinat Amchasag Benu Aharenu Nora Kufreshayan Sintet Nun Nagibor Dorshe Yehudha Yevavat Shamrein Nun Gimogalit Yud Kashin. Barchin Tacharin Rachame Sitkatha Tamid Gamlin Betet Resh Baditat Gimel. Hasin Kadosh Virov Tuvcha Nael Adata. Et kufet tet nunayim. Yachid geya lamcha penei zochre kidushatah. Yud gimel lamed pe zayin kuf. Shavatenu kabel lishma tziyakatenu yodeya talumot shen kufav tzadi yudtah. You can find the handout on the Unique Astrological Times landing page. You'll find the link to that underneath the two pictures on the right of every Yeshem webpage. When the Unique Astrological Times landing page opens up, scroll down to close to the bottom, and you'll see a section titled Character Development, or Musar. And the first link under that is for the Sefer Tomer Devorah. When that page opens up, scroll down a little bit and you'll see the various chapters and verses. We are beginning with chapter 3, verse 6, which is where we left off last time. And we will start with a L'shem Yehud. L'chem Yehud kud shabarichu ishkin hei bit hilu urchimu ud hilu ud hilu urchimu. L'yachda l'shem yud hei bavad hei. V'yichuda shelim b'shem kol Yisrael, limud Torah mitzvah, la'asok Torah mitzvah, v'yihino am Adonai Eloheinu aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karanei aleinu ma'asei yadeinu karanei. Velirachem al kol hanivarayim, O tzarich liyod rachama perusim, al kol hanivraim, lo yevazem, v'lo yeabdem, sheharei. Achachma ha'el yona, hi purusa, al kol hanivraim, domem v'tzomea, v'chai umdaber. Umitam zeus harnu, mi bizu ochlin di aldavar, zerau shech mo shech hachachma, ha'el yona, eina mevaza, shum nimtza, v'hakol nasa misham kediktiv, Kulam b'chachma asita, ken yihye rachamei ha'adam, al kol ma'asav, yitbarachnu mitam, v'haya onesh, r'yabeinu ha'kadosh, al yedei shelo chas al ben, Habakar shechaya mitchabe etzlo, we amar lo, zilekach notzarta, uva metziyapo, ba'ulo yisurin shehem mitzad hadin shehare, harachamin meginim, Al ha-din v'ka'asher rachem al ha-hula hulda. V'yamar rachamav al kom asav k'tiv. Nitzol min ha-din b'ifnei sheperas or ha-hachma. Alav nistalku ha-yasurim. We all derech, ze lo yivaze v'shum nimtza, min ha nimtzaim, shekulam b'chachma, v'lo yavor, v'atzomeach, v'l ela l'torech, v'lo yamit, ha'ba'al, tay ela l'torech, Vayivror lachem mita yafa besakin beduka lirachem al mashevshar. The English translation. To have mercy upon all of the creatures. He must also have his mercy extend to all of the creatures. He should not disgrace them nor destroy them, as behold, the highest wisdom is spread over all the creatures, the inanimate, the growing, which are the plants, the living, which are the animals, and the speaking, which are people. And we are warned about disgracing food for this reason, and about this thing it is fitting that just like the highest wisdom does not disgrace anything in existence, and everything was made from there, the highest wisdom. As it is written, you made all of them with wisdom. So too should the mercy of a person be over all of his creations. May he be blessed. And for this reason was the holy Rebbe punished, since he did not pity the young calf that was hiding with him, and said to it, "So, you were created for this." Afflictions came upon him, as they were from the side of judgment, since behold, mercy protects from judgment. And when he had mercy on a weasel and said, it is written, and his mercies are over all of his creatures, he was saved from the judgment, since the light of wisdom was spread over him, and the afflictions withdrew. And upon this way he should not disgrace anything in existence from that which exists, as all of them are with wisdom. And so he should not uproot a plant except for a need, nor kill an animal except for a need. And then he should choose a nice death with a checked knife to have mercy in as much as possible. It's saying if you shecht an animal, if you kill an animal in the kosher manner, it has to be with a knife that has been checked to make sure that the blade is smooth, so that when you cut the neck of the animal, it does not feel the pain. It's telling us in all ways to be aware of every living thing. So the questions that people raise when hearing this verse is very real. Should I not step on an ant that's in my kitchen? Should I not kill that ant? These are questions that people have to ask. Some people will literally pick that ant up on a piece of paper and take that piece of paper outside and blow the ant into the wind. But I don't know of anybody who's ever followed the wind to see where the ant lays. But that's something that we should do so that we understand the effect of our actions. Because maybe it is better and more merciful, since the ant cannot be in the kitchen because it will bring dirt and more ants and all of the associated issues, maybe we need to know what is the effect of what we think is merciful versus what Hashem knows is merciful.
Okay, Hano, you're speaking to me now.
I was speaking to a lot of people, Brandy, not just you.
The bee that lands on my leg that I scoop up with a piece of paper and take outside, or the ant that's in the kitchen that I scoop up and take outside and put on the ground.
And what's your question?
Not my question, it's just a statement.
Okay.
But I agree with that.
Do you think I'm questioning your statement?
No, I think that everything has a purpose and a reason, and though we don't know it, you know, just because we don't like it doesn't mean, since it's in the animal or the plant kingdom, that we get away, that we, you know, we destroy it. Maybe God put that animal or that plant there to test you.
That's absolutely true, and we don't know the cause of why that ant is in the kitchen or the bee has landed on your leg. But there are ways to find out. Most of us do not practice that. And so I will give you an example of a story, a Hasidic story, and then I will also give you another example in discussion. Because I'm glad you asked the question or made the comment, because it helps people to understand. The Hasidic story is about a young boy whose grandfather was the Rebbe of his community. What is a Rebbe of the community? I hope we all understand, but it's essentially the leader of the community who's knowledgeable in Torah. And the grandson is destined to become the leader of the community when he grows up. But he's walking with his grandfather, and the grandfather is teaching him Torah. And he plucks a leaf off of a bush. And the Rebbe stops and asks him why he did that. And he attempts to explain to his Rebbe that it feels good to smush the leaf. And as a young boy, I did the same thing. But the Rebbe explains to him that leaf has a purpose, and it's there for a purpose, and it's important that he leave it on the bush. If Hashem wants it off the bush, he will send a wind. So then the question is, if we're not supposed to do these things, then when you take the ant out of the kitchen on a piece of paper, where does the ant go? It's not anywhere near where it knows its way home, because ants use secretions to identify the path back to their hill. And if he doesn't know where to go, he doesn't know what to do. And he's totally lost and confused. Although, obviously, an ant does not have a great capacity of brains, but he has intuition and he has things that he knows to do, like leaving a trail to get home. But we have confused that trail when we take him. The same thing applies to a bee, although they don't use signs. They use different markers, but they find their way home. And when you put them into a different situation, they may find it difficult to find their way home. And they then become prey to other insects and other animals. So my recommendation is, rather than do a rote action of putting the insect on a piece of paper or other form and put it outside, is to ask your intuition, what is the best thing for this insect? It may be that you are supposed to kill it, but it also may be that you're supposed to put it outside. And your intuition will know the answer if you ask the question. Most people will not do that because they feel silly. But Hashem is in control of every action of every individual in the world. But we don't live like that. We live like we think we know. And that's our ego speaking. And when you stop to ask your intuition, which is truly asking Hashem, this is the way we need to live. This is the way the tzaddikim live. Does anybody have any other comments to make on this discussion, which I think is excellent that Brandy brought up? Or should I just continue?
I have one more. It was a story I read about some of our people in the Holocaust that were in Dachau or Auschwitz. I can't ever pronounce that name. But anyway, it was in the men's bunkers, and they were like six to a bunker, to a bed, okay? And, of course, you know,
it was a shelf, and they would be, it was only wide enough. So they would crawl in and be lying next to each other.
Right. Well, it was winter time, and, you know, in Germany, winter is very brutal. It's very, very cold. And so they were all huddled together. And what happened to this one particular man was, of course, you know, people don't like rats or mice or any of that, because they may carry some kind of bad connotation. But that night, the man, quite a few rats came into the shelf where he was, and nestled against him for warmth, and he nestled, and of course he was there, you know, and he got warmth from them. So the whole story was, after he was liberated from the camps, thank God, and his lifetime, his trying to teach other people was he would never kill a rat, because the rat, it wasn't the same rat, but they gave him life so that he would not freeze. And several of his other companions had passed away that night. So you never know what you know, Hashem has planned for you. Although it's not, I mean, I wouldn't want a rat cuddling up to me, but you got to do what you got to do when you got to do it.
What you're teaching very, very well is the concept of relativity. Every situation is relative to the souls involved. Thank you for sharing that story. It's excellent.
Thank you for sharing your passages today.
I'm continuing to read second verse within chapter 3, verse 6. I don't know how to relate it, but it's the second section where the Hebrew exists. And for those who don't know, I like to read the Hebrew for the energy. But then we read the translations for the ego, learning to control the ego. Ze hachlal hachemla al kohanim saim shelo leha bilam teluya behakba zulati leha alotam mi ma'ala el ma'ala mitso meyach lechai mechai lim daber she'az Mutar la'akor ha'tzomeach u'hamit ha'chai lahu al-menat le'zakot. This is the general rule. Compassion upon all things in existence, not to injure them. This is rooted in wisdom. This is, unless it is to raise them from one level to another level, from growing to living, from living to speaking, as then it is permitted to uproot a plant and kill an animal, to disadvantage it in order to benefit it. How do I explain this? It's teaching relativity. But it's also saying that perhaps I need to uproot a weed so that the plant grows more beneficially, more efficiently. Perhaps I need to uproot the plant because I need to change it to be a different form of plants that the animal can live off of. And then I need to be raising the animal because I need the protein from that animal to maintain my health. Everything is relative. But we have a general rule. Everything is compassionate on everything else. And it is important that we show compassion constantly. But is compassion, and we need to ask this question, is compassion not causing harm. And that's when we discuss that we need to track what happens to that bee or that ant or that plant so that we can realize the general rule does not always apply in the particular situation. These are code words from Kabbalah, general and particular. We will probably not finish chapter 4, but I never know how many verses are in each chapter. So we are starting with chapter 4, verse 1. Starting with the little one off the side that's very light in color, so half the time I miss it. Hi, Yirgal, Yargil Hadam Atzmo, Meidat Abina, Bina Hai Teshuva, Wihulashu Bitshuva She'ein Davar Hashu, Kamoha Mipnei Shehiyo, Mitakenet Kol Gagam, Ukmo Shederech Abina Lematech Kol Hadinim, Ulvatel Mirirutam Achadam Yashu. Bitshuva vitaken kol pagam umishem charcher teshuva kol yamav gorem shetayir avbina kol yamav benim se'u kol yamav bitshuva v'haynu liklol Atzmo bevina shehiyo teshuva v'imei chayav me'utarim besod ha-teshuva ha-elyona ureki kemo shehatshuva yesh ba-shoresh ho-hanimsaot besod Ayovel Ahare Shoresh Achitzonim Sod Nechar Dinur Haniklal Bikdusha Besod Hagavurot Mishrash Sham Vayipashet Misham Vayikare Itpashtut Aron Af usod vayara Hashem et reach hanichova Yachzor hachitashtut Ahu el mekoro V'yum techu hadinim v'yishtot Acharon v'yayinachem Hashem Al hara akach adam besod ha-teshuvato Ose sode. Chapter 4. How a person can accustom himself with the trait of understanding, the trait of Bina. Understanding is repentance. And this is that one should repent, as there is nothing as important as it, since it repairs every defect. And like it is the way of understanding, to sweeten all of the judgments and to nullify their bitterness. So should a person repent and fix every defect. And one who ponders repentance all of his days causes understanding to shine upon him all of his days. And it comes out that all of his days are in repentance, which is to say that he is including himself in understanding, which is repentance. And so the days of his life are crowned with the secret of the highest repentance. And see that just like repentance has the root of all that is in existence, in it, through the secret of the Jubilee, behold the root of the external forces, which is the secret of the river Dinur, the river of fire, which is included in the holiness of the secret of the severities, is also rooted there in Bina and extends from there. And this extension is called the extension of the burning fury. But the extension returns to its source in the secret of, and the Lord smelled the pleasant smell. And the judgments are sweetened, and the fury is stilled. And the Lord relents of the evil. So too does a person do this secret with the secret of his repentance. This is an amazing teaching. When we would sacrifice animals in the temple, the verse teaches us that Hashem smelled the smell. And this verse here is coming to teach us that it isn't just a smell. It's taking the negativity and returning it to its source. And it's replacing that negativity with positivity, because smell is the highest sense that a human being has. Is sight higher than ear hearing? The answer is yes. But in the frame of Zeranpin, in the frame of the male energy, in the frame of the Vavhe of Hashem's name, that smell is the highest sense, the highest emotion. We don't understand that. We don't appreciate that. We don't really learn that until you study the deeper aspects of the Kabbalah. But what you're taught is that smell is the highest sense. What does that mean? It means there is a metaphysical energy being returned to its source. That's what repentance means. And in this verse, we are taught that repentance is Bina, it's understanding. What is understanding? I've spent many years studying Kabbalah, and I don't remember half of what I learned, and I don't really understand what I think I understand. But the term understanding means there's a judgment. In order for me to understand, I have to discern something about the wisdom that has come to me. Teshuvah is returning the hay to Hashem's name, because my negative action separated that hay from the vav. But I first must understand that my action was negative. And I'm going to use what Brandy and I were discussing earlier, not as a reflection on Brandy, but as a teaching tool. There's an ant in my kitchen, and I put it on a piece of paper, and I take it outside. I had to understand that the ant would cause some form of chaos in my kitchen. But maybe it wouldn't. Maybe it was just passing through. But I made a determination, the ant will bring other ants. Will it bring under other ants for sure? I can't know that. By the same token, it always has before, so why would it be different now? All of this is understanding. All of this is making a judgment. That's why Bina is on the left column. But it's at a level that I have to realize that the way a human being perceives actions is not the way heaven sees actions. And so how I perceive this really relates to my culture. It relates to what I have learned and many other levels. But this verse is telling us that the return requires a secret of the river Dinur, the river of fire, the river of burning, the river of passion. If I don't recognize passion, if I don't inject passion in my action, I'm giving you a cold action. I'm giving you an action devoid of passion. And we are about to enter the month of Cheshvan, which is the month of Akrav, meaning the scorpion. And the scorpion animal is a very intense animal. The scorpion is spelled Ayin Kuf Resh Bet. And what we are taught is the cold, the Kuf and the Resh, spells the word Kar. And Kar means coldness, a lack of passion. But the scorpion does have passion. That's why it goes into crisis. It goes into fear. And it's a function of its passion. But if you do not remove the coldness, then you never connect the ayin to the bet. And the 72 aspects, characteristics of Hashem never come to your aid, God forbid. So we have to delve into the coldness and remove it from the Akrav. Remove the fear from the Akrav. And this understanding of injecting passion, it's not mercy that I'm removing the ants. It's passion. I don't want the negative aspect to come into my life. That's my passion. It's not, oh, poor aunt. That's a coldness. That's the letter of the law, not the spirit of the law. Speaking of both general and particular. I will continue with this next chapter and verse, which is chapter 4, verse 2, unless there is a question. Ha teshuva tova gam lira. Now, if I were to translate that, I would say, the good teshuvah is also the evil. I'm not sure when we read the English, we'll see what it actually gets translated as. Shelo tomar shehat shuvah tova lechelek hakedushah. Sheba adam el adam lechelek. Ara shebo mit matek Gatitain Hamida Hazot Teida Shehare Ain Rahaya Uminahash Hayavene Emarlo Halloim Tetiv Set Al Tachshov Mifne Shata Mitzat Ara She'en Lecha Takana Ze Sheker Halloim Tetiv Tashrin Rish Atzmecha Besod HaTeshuva Keim Tistale Sham Besod HaTov HaMisharash Sham Shekol Mar Elyon Shar Shomato Yakol Ikanes Derech Shar Shol Chetiv Atmo Velaza Hapulot Atman Metiv Ha'adam Uzdonot Na'asu Lo Kiskuyot Kihine Otam Hapulot She'asa Hayu Bekatrigot Misitra Dismala Shavichuva Shalema Are Maknisu Mashrishotan Apakaulot Malavakolotam Amkatragim Enam Mitbatlim Elabativin Atzman Umishkar Shim Mikdusha ke'en hatavat kain v'ahare in kain shav b'tshuva v'nitkan Ine zodon adam harishon shebo holid et kain kina lidim savuta Aya nekshav zechut besod bara mezake abba. Amnam lo ratza lashuv ulkach kol sitra bismala nimshach misham vekol anafav Shetibin lehitmatek hem shavim umitmatkim v'haynu mamash min hata'am sheperashnu shehadam mashrish be'atzmo sod hara umatko umakniso el hato Lefika ha'adam metacher yetzer ha'ra u'makniso el ha'tov v'hu mishtaresh mi'bikdusha lemala. Repentance is also good for the bad. That you should not say that repentance is only good for the holy part in man, but rather it also sweetens the evil part in him. Similar to this higher trait, know that Cain was bad and was from the snake, but it was stated to him, is it not that you, if you do good, you'll be lifted? Do not think that before you are from the side of evil, that you have no reparation. That is a lie. Is it not bad that if you do good and root yourself in the secret of repentance, it will be lifted, such that you will withdraw to there in the secret of the good rooted there, as all the highest bitterness has a sweet root and can enter through its root to better itself. And so these same actions improve a person, and his volitional sins are made for him to be like merits. And behold, those actions that he did were prosecuting from the left side. If he repented with complete repentance, behold, he brings these actions in and roots them in the above. And all of these prosecutors do not become nullified, but rather improve themselves and root themselves in holiness, similar to the possible betterment of Cain. And behold, if Cain had repented and been repaired, behold, the volitional sin of Adam, literally the first man through which he fathered Cain, who is the nest, the kina of impurity, would have been considered a merit. Through the secret of a child gives merit to the father. However, he did not want to repent, and hence all the side of the left is drawn from there. But all of its branches are destined to be sweetened, and they will repent and be sweet. And this is exactly from the reason that we explained that a person takes the secret of evil to his own roots and sweetens it and brings it into the good. Hence, a person purifies his evil impulse and brings it into the good, and it becomes rooted in holiness above. We can discuss this section, this number one of chapter 4, verse 2. We could discuss this for about 17 hours, but that's obviously a metaphor. But there's much to discuss, but there's much just to contemplate. And that's what I recommend people do with this verse, to reread it and start to ask questions. But it's interesting to note that we are reading the Parasha of Bereshit. And today, we did read this particular verse from the Torah that is being referred to here, of Cain being asked if he had repented, if he had done teshuvah, what would have been the result. We read that verse today, this morning. So there's a lot here to contemplate.
You know, Hanok, what you said earlier about Heshvan, I can tell you that all of that is really hits home with me because I'm a Heshvan baby, and I understand what you're saying. And what was interesting was the fact that repentance has a metaphysical energy to it that God can detect. And I always wondered how God knew if you were really true repentant about something or how much you were repentant about something. And from what I understand, is it's the amount of energy given off in the metaphysical that God detects as to know how truly you are repentant.
Thank you for sharing that. I am well versed in surviving Heshvan. That's my ego speaking, so don't listen to it. But both of my parents were sun sign Scorpio.
So were mine. I can feel your pain.
It's called How Do You Survive the Two Scorpio Parents?
I'm telling you.
I recommend it not to have to come into this lifetime and do it again. So
that's what I'm trying to achieve.
Because of time, let's finish this last little paragraph, number two. Wizohi malat hat shuvah shet adam. Yidna heg ba. Tzarich shebekol yom wayom yecharcher ba'al yaseh. Teshuvah b'tzad ma kidei sheyayu. Kol yamav b'tshuvah. And this is the virtue of repentance that a person practices. He must ponder it each and every day and repent in some way so that all of his days will be rooted in repentance. The important word in this verse paragraph is that practicing repentance. Most people just talk, if they do it, they only talk about it and do it in Elul. But we have to realize that we have to practice teshuvah. We have to practice returning to Hashem. If we do not practice it, just like every other aspect, fake it till you make it. Strengthen your muscles every day so they get stronger. We have to practice teshuvah in order to truly do teshuvah. To be able to do complete teshuvah. Does anyone have any questions? Everyone have a beautiful afternoon. I'm reminding you that Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan is 2 days. Literally, it's from Friday night to Sunday night. And our event, where we take control of Cheshvan, and it is one of the most important aspects of the month, it is our Rosh Chodesh event. I hope you'll join us for Motzi Shabbat, for our event, where we will do the ritual that helps us take control of the scorpion energy and remove the negative aspect of it. Because as Randy and I can attribute, it's a very difficult month. Have a beautiful afternoon. There are two more classes. The Deep Zohar at 4:30 and questions and answers at 7 p.m. Shalom Gadol to everyone.
Shalom.
Shalom.